from what I thought it would be a couple of hours ago. I do want to say, though, that from the beginning of this process, when those first corporations were, when those first lists with corporations were named for do not list status, that process has been delayed many times along the way. And conceivably, this vote could have been taken some time ago. And with each of those delays, I think we and you have missed an opportunity to make a strong moral statement about corporate culture. All of these corporate, to delay a vote is one thing, but to not vote in any corporations, in a sense, is to equalize them and just not acknowledge the distinction between corporations with ethical corporate culture and the worst of the worst, the bad actors. And it sort of allows the worst of the worst to dodge the bullet, at least for some time. And I would like to think that we would stand up. It's so clear that some of these corporations are a disservice to all of us in the way that they operate, the way that they do business, that we shouldn't be at all shy, and we should sooner rather than later, as soon as possible, list them and take a stand so that they get a message. And I would put Caterpillar and Wells Fargo at that top of the list. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Frank Afrangi, Nick Covery, and Will Fuller. And they will be followed by Chris Cuffraff, Miles Sisk, and Mark Braverman.
Okay, any of those folks come on up? Looks like we may not have all those folks here. Thank you. Go ahead, please. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Will Fuller. I'm here not to talk about the C word or other simple corporations, but to commend you and the city of Portland for what we're really talking about here, which is social responsibility. We as a citizenry and you as a government don't endorse profit for the sake of profit. We don't follow the lead of an Atlantic City casino builder in what we do. We talked about seven things the Socially Responsible Investments Committee has concern about: the environment, health, including the destruction of life through weapons, abusive labor practices, corrupt corporate ethics and governance, extreme tax avoidance, market domination beyond reasonable competition, and finally, human rights. We stand for the fine environment, the good human rights, the proper corporate responsibility, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about putting a pause, which I endorse, in what we do with corporations to hold them socially responsible in our city, our state, our region, and our people. That is vital to what we stand for. The idea of putting a corporation on a blacklist almost violates that by saying, this is what you can't do, this is what you should not do, but we never have had the policy to say, this is a corporation we can invest in. Now, I favor what people have talked about here, conveying to the next council a chance to make a comprehensive social responsibility policy. I also think we should send these five corporate names to that council: Nestle, Walmart, Credit Suisse, Wells Fargo, and Caterpillar, as examples of corporations which violate those standards. Please consider that, and consider one small thing. Right now, it is more profitable to invest in solar than in coal or oil. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'll be super brief because a lot's been said, and I realize you're all tired, and I'm tired. And
just give us your name first, please.
Christopher Cuttruff.
Thanks.
So I realize that Commissioner Fritz's resolution makes the point of individual companies moot, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate how comprehensive and thoughtful that is. Two thoughts, however, about it. One is, I think it says something very different to have a list of companies that the city is particularly avoiding, and that can be guidance for citizens as well. It's a statement about the city's practices with investment, and it says something different than just a general policy of not investing in corporate bonds that you were talking about. The other concern is that in 4 months, like the person who first testified was mentioning budgetary concerns. I just want to say, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, like there was a time where none of these investments were happening, and that can certainly be the case. And I would just urge the city council to consider what's more important as a city, the types of humanitarian and social responsibility policies that we have, or a matter of $4 million. Like, I believe that Portland can be on the right side of history there. That's all.
Thank you.
Miles Sisk, Mark Braverman, Mohammed Usraf, and Ronald Brown. That's the last one I showed sign up.
Okay. Come on up, please. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Mark Braverman. So just a couple of things. Thank you, Commissioner Novick. When you had your introductory comments at the last hearing that we were all present at, you said you thought you were going to say some things that were going to be make you unpopular, but that you were open to having your mind changed, and it sounds like that's happened. And on a broader basis, I think the whole issue with Caterpillar and what I called then the sort of the Jewish family argument, but it's broader than that. I think that's been a very, very powerful and important conversation. We've gotten through that, and the realization now is that Caterpillar has to be considered on its own merits, and that the whole anti-Semitism argument is specious. And I think I'm going to talk about the future, because I think that this is the future, and many people have commented that now as we're going into the dark days of the next four, however many years we're looking at, it's going to be more and more important for things happening at the local level to really take the lead in what's going to happen in our country and in the world. So Portland's voice has to ring out loud and clear, and those of us who have been so committed to the idea of supporting Commissioner Novick's idea about the new Do Not Buy list, this is because of the powerful symbolic value. It's not going to make a big economic difference to these corporations whether Portland is in or out. But Portland, followed by other cities, and there's already starting to hear that from the grassroots of this country, it's hugely, hugely important. Now, I think it's a great idea for Portland not to invest in corporations, but I think we do need to think tactically and strategically about what it means to name names, name companies, and take a stand, because Portland will be the first. We will not be the last.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
My name is Mohammed Usraf. I am a Palestinian, and I live here in Portland for 4 years. And before I start, like, thank you very much for your time. You know, like, this is precious time, and we appreciate that. And I want to thank Commissioner Steve and Commissioner Amanda for their proposal, and I totally support it. We need to pause and think and then come back and say, yes, we don't want to invest in these companies. Yeah, well, why not? Caterpillar is a bulldozer who destroy houses, trees, and schools, and we don't want to invest in that. We want to invest in our local businesses here in Portland, and we want to send a message to the world that we are looking for a future. We are looking for a very hopeful future, and we do not agree with any human rights or any type of rights violation to anybody, and specifically for people who have been victims for a really long time, and they are dying every day and every night because of choices that we make here, right now, and really it's important to say that Caterpillar, Wells Fargo are really harmful, and really we want to do no harm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is that all the folks that were signed up to speak?
I think Mr. Brown, Ronald Brown. And anyone else who signed up and did not hear their name get called?
Welcome.
Is it okay if I stand?
Sure. Okay.
Or any variation? Okay. Ronald Brown. I'm from Grayling, Michigan. I was born March 9th, 1963, and Michigan Tech, and Red Rocks Community College. I'm in the presence of you folks. My pleasure. I thought we'd meet in a different way, but this is great. Anyway, I'm going to start this back about love. Love is what we want. I want love. Do you want love? Everyone, I think everybody wants love. Everybody wants love, right? And so that's the place to start. When we got a job to do, it's a big job. Everybody's got, you know, I've called your office. You don't call me back because you're busy doing, fighting the people that don't want to make love and have a loving environment, right? So how do we change this? It's not hard. Look, I'm an arborist. I'm just an arborist. This thing right here is probably one of the most powerful things. We could, look, building this place, it's a magnificent place. I go out there and I could skate around, and I could play around. Sacred geometry at work. This is the most beautiful place in the world, right here. Look, I get to be right here, part of the curve of everything. Listen, what? If you want to talk to the guy in charge, or do you want to talk to the woman that knows everything? Look, I saw that slogan on a refrigerator because I got to move out of this place. I'm like, whoa, that's so right, Cascadia. We're right here in the middle of Cascadia. Right on the 45th parallel between heaven and, or between, wait a minute, I don't want to talk politics or religion. I hate that. I just want to talk about love. Because if we begin, all they're asking for is change. Change is so easy. No, it's so hard.
Thank you very much.
The only one that begs for change is a baby, and they want it. So just change a little bit. Take those places off your list, and you'll see the change.
Thank you.
It'll be for
the positive. We have the request of one more person to sign up to speak.
All right, thank you so much. You. So is there any further discussion? Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, Ramon. Didn't realize I left you out, Ramon.
Sounds like this.
Come on, there you go.
My name is Romeo Sosa. I work for VOS, and I'm not going to repeat whatever they say, but I work with immigrants who every day that we have people who recently have in detention center in Tacoma, and thinking about Wells Fargo and Caterpillar, basically thinking about that people who are incarcerated and those by prison making money or make profit for each person who are incarcerated there. And it's not fair that we still ignore that Wells Fargo and Caterpillar, that they try to make the wall that new administration is planning for. I'm just here to support everyone what they've been saying, that just please consider to add Wells Fargo and Caterpillar in the list, not to my list. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I have a question.
Okay. Please.
The language that Commissioner Fritz circulated, is that intended to replace the two resolved in the present resolution?
Yes, and that's with Commissioner Novick's agreement that we would just not have any of them. So it's replacing the two now, be it resolved and be it further resolved, and also obviously including the two additional companies because we've now included all companies.
Wait, say that last part again.
So we're not having any...
But we're not adding anything to the list because we're doing away with the list.
Correct. Right.
For now.
Obviously, as Treasurer Cooperman said, a big incentive for her to come back as soon as she can with a proposal for how to do this in a fair and objective manner. Okay. So, yes, we'd be... So
just to restate, we're doing away with the list, and then we are...
Not buying any corporate securities
until we just make a decision in April.
Correct. Okay. So my amendments were to replace the now be it resolves in the Exhibit A and B.
Okay. All right. So are we ready to vote on Commissioner Fritz's amendment?
Well, I believe it's been accepted as a friendly amendment, so we're now voting on...
So
Commissioner Novick's resolution.
So, I think we have to adopt the amendment.
We voted on the substitute.
That's right. We already put it on the table. Okay. So now we're voting on the resolution as amended by the substitute. Sorry, lost my own procedural thread. Roll call, please.
Novick.
I really appreciate the council being willing a couple of years ago to establish this concept of socially responsible investment policy. As far as I know, this is unique in the country because other jurisdictions have put entire industries on a do not buy list. I don't think another jurisdiction has said, we're going to adopt some criteria that could apply to any company in any industry. And maybe we've learned why they haven't done it. It's hard. If you look at various options that have been presented or implicitly presented in this process, I thought just looking at the MSCI list that you'd wind up with Nestle and Credit Suisse and Walmart. If we were just listening to public testimony, the only companies, frankly, we heard anything about were Wells Fargo and Caterpillar. So if we based the list just on what we heard public testimony about, then I think we'd be leaving off other companies that violate our principles but have not drawn attention from organized groups of folks here. If we went with what the committee came up with after long hours of deliberation, we'd have a list of 10 companies, which is 20% of the total list that we had, which, as I said, I had a hard time reconciling with the concept of the worst of the worst. So this is not easy stuff, and I want to, again, extend my thanks to all the members of the committee who put in countless hours, to Jennifer Cooperman and Kelly Ball, who spent countless hours on this issue, to Katie Schreiber on my staff, who was a significant part of her work on the council, and to my colleagues, and especially Commissioner Fritz, who's been particularly engaged and today came up with a way to continue this concept into the next administration. So thank you all very, very much. Thanks to all of the committed community members, whatever their perspective, who came to meeting after meeting and responded to questions that I had and that others had and followed up. Really appreciate it. I understand the resolution we're coming to today is not satisfactory to everybody, but again, I feel kind of guilty that I won't be here to continue the conversation next year, at least as a member of council, but I really appreciate the process. Aye.
Well, Commissioner Novick, I know I speak for others that you'll always be welcome back here, and given deference as somebody who's obviously cared about this for a very long time. And so thank you for that remarkable summary. That was an excellent way of putting it. I think I've learned from my career as a nurse that, and my husband's as a doctor, that you first do no harm. And from the testimony that I received, all the letters, all of the input, passionate people who are showing up on the Wednesday when you could be doing other things, I really appreciate it. And I would like to, so that's why I proposed the amendment to let's not buy any corporations, because right now, at least as of right now, I can believe in my government. And we really need to be very careful about how we move forward. And we need to take risks, though. We do need to say, this is, on principle, this is worth it, whether it's $4 million or what is it. We are going to do it because we're not going to continue investing. I want to admit investing in corporations. I do want to respond to the suggestion that we should stop banking with Wells Fargo. We investigated that under Mayor Adams and looked at some of the local banks and encouraged them to come in and bid when there was the last time we put out the request for proposals. The smaller banks just can't manage the level of complexity of city payroll, bills, all that kind of stuff. And so, and also I found that often the smaller banks are going to be investing in some of the same things in the bigger banks. So that's all of this thinking was what brought me to the place that to come together on the very last item that we're going to be voting on in 2016 under Mayor Hales, under the great guidance of Commissioner Novick, who takes on so many difficult projects, the street fee and disabled people's parking permits and a bunch of other things that nobody previously was able to wrestle with, and you have done so. So this is also in that category. I do honor Sam Adams, who, when he was in the office that I now occupy, did have the No to Walmart sign in the window. I content myself with this is what democracy looks like, and my Oregon Nurses Association Union placard, which I used to carry around in my trunk just in case I needed to join a picket line at any moment. These are the values that I'm coming from. These are the reasons why I support what we've been asked into, not buy with these corporations. Let's not buy any of them, and let's continue to work on it so that we can focus in this time of holidays on coming together and helping each other out in these difficult times. Aye.
I want to first say I appreciate a compromise worked out by two of our colleagues, and I think it meets a number of concerns of the council, and I'm going to support it. Someone testified earlier about this being an important conversation. It was you, sir. This is a very important conversation, and I have had some of these conversations with many people in this room, in my conference room, people of goodwill bringing their passion and their values to us. And I'll tell you where I have gotten torn in this conversation. People of goodwill have made arguments on both sides of some corporations, which we will be debating now and in the future. And at a certain point, I felt like I was almost like an umpire that wasn't clear about what the rules of the game were. I was asked to call balls and strikes, and I wasn't sure where the strike zone was. That some companies were being criticized for some of their conduct, but I wasn't spending any time sort of assessing what are the good things they do and then looking in a balanced way. And it was at that point that I started thinking out loud that perhaps we should get out of corporate securities altogether, that people of goodwill may have a concern about almost any corporate security that we are contemplating buying. And why are we in corporate securities? And that has led to other conversations, and today you heard a part of it around what's the difference in interest that we can get and risk and fiduciary duty, and those are all very important conversations. I'm prepared to roll up my sleeves and continue to engage this conversation honestly and humbly in the next 3 to 4 months. And I think we all have a stake in getting this right. I deeply appreciate the testimony, but I also appreciate that people have taken the time to come into my office and share their concerns with me and give me reading assignments and homework assignments, and I deeply appreciate that. The question I will be asking in the new year is to drill down a little deeper into what are the criteria. And Mayor, I'm interested in on the plus side and the negative side. I'm interested in both sides of the balance sheet. And finally, I want to thank, since we're thanking people who guide us in this process, I want to thank Asena Lawrence on my team because she has brought her own passion and values to this work and has helped me along the way. Asena, thank you for your great work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I appreciate this discussion. Obviously, this is an area that there's no easy answers, and I think we'll return to this question in a few months. But I do appreciate the compromise worked out by Commissioner Novick, Commissioner Fritz, and happy to support it. I guess I do still feel that given that there are $4 to $7 million in interest earnings we're getting from corporate securities, I feel there has to be a path that we can find socially responsible corporate securities to invest in, and I think we should. But I'm very comfortable for now suspending that until we can develop a policy and choose the right companies, because I think they're out there. We just need to find them. So very pleased to support this. Aye.
Well, I want to start by thanking you, Commissioner Novick, and you, Commissioner Fritz, for guiding us through this discussion today and everyone that obviously cares about these issues. You know, I'm really proud that we, under your leadership, have a socially responsible investment policy and that we have committees and citizens that want to weigh in on those issues. It says a lot about us. And it's how we reflect our values in policy, law, and action here in this building. We're all, I think, fearful and appalled by what's ahead. And we all feel that. And actually, some of you may have been here earlier when I was somewhat teasingly telling our housing director, you know, get those bonds for the housing project done that you need HUD's help for before the inauguration, because God knows what's happening afterwards. And we all have that sense, I think. But I want to actually give us all, including myself, a little counsel about what's ahead, because, of course, there's much we don't know, but I have some instincts that I think might obtain here. Someone called me to interview me. Actually, I've been called and interviewed a lot about what's ahead because of our climate leadership. I just came back from the C40 summit where we were given an award for the best climate action plan in the world and our leadership on fossil fuels, and that was fun to get that recognition, but there was a lot of anxiety there. These U.S. cities, you know, are they still in the game and serious about this? And I was able to reassure them. And based on that, I've had a couple of interviews with national news organizations, and one of them asked, well, is Portland going to be part of the resistance? And I said, well, we're going to be part of the persistence. That is, we're not looking for a fight with the Trump administration, as hard as those words are to say, or anyone else, but we are who we are, and we're going to keep doing what we do. And that may lead to a fight, but the point of that name, that word game, is not a game at all, is that we are who we are, we're going to do what we do, and if the federal government helps us, wonderful. If they try to contradict us, I don't think that will go well, because we are who we are. This is a marathon. That's the other instinct. I mean, I hope the Trump administration lasts less than 4 years, and given some of its shenanigans so far, that could happen. I'm not counting on it, though. I think it's going to be a marathon, and there will be a lot of work, and this work will need to continue into 2017 here. And I know some people may be a little tired because you have put in a lot of time, whether on the city's part or in the community's part, but I say be resolute and be optimistic about our community. The people that sit at this table will change a bit, but we are a progressive city, and I'm confident that that will still be true about the next city council. And I also want to show here a measure of deference to Mayor-elect Wheeler, who's showing up for work today as the state treasurer. As you may have noticed, we acted on kind of a crowning achievement of my work in local government earlier today, which is a comprehensive land use plan. And if I was a financial planner, I would feel a little strange adopting the comprehensive plan that would guide his work. So I would feel a little strange adopting the financial plan that's going to guide his. You see my point. We all have our skill set. Mine is urban planning, and I'm glad we got that work done today. His is city and state treasuries, and I'm sure he will bring value to this discussion. So on climate and on equity and leadership and justice, local leadership really matters. A couple of you said that, and I've got lots of proof that that's true, because the things we've done in Portland first are getting replicated in other places. Whether it's a streetcar or a fossil fuel ban or a climate action plan or a ban the box ordinance or a CEO pay surcharge, thank you, Steve Novick. Those things start here often, I like that, and then they spread because they're the right thing to do and they reflect other communities' values. And I'm confident that this is a community that will continue to put our values into practice, and then others will pay us the compliment of imitation, because local action really will matter. So my message is mainly one of good cheer. This is a good place, and that's true both physically and how we take care of one another. That is going to continue to be true, and we will persist. Thank you.
Mayor Hills, don't hit that gavel yet.
I won't hit the gavel yet.
Yes, to gavel this item.
Oh, you can gavel,
gavel this item. I won't gavel the meeting.
I just told you you can gavel this item. Okay. We'll have to read the charter.
Okay, the president's taken over.
All right.
Can I be recognized for a point of personal privilege?
You may.
Okay, I'd like to call up Rachel Wiggins.
Ah, good idea.
Who has a proclamation.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe not a good idea.
That's a proclamation she wants to read.
And the rest of the staff.
And the rest of the staff, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. This is dangerous.
Mayor, I hope you don't mind indulging your staff one last time. We're here as people who routinely draft and edit the proclamations that are read in this chamber, and we thought it would only be fitting that the last item on the agenda be a proclamation for you.
Thank you.
So with that said, whereas Charlie Hales has faithfully served the citizens of Portland for 13 years, first as a city commissioner and then as mayor of Portland, and whereas in his time as mayor, Charlie Hales has championed smart growth for our city, police accountability, equity, opportunities for youth, and an aggressive agenda combating the effects of climate change. And whereas no Portland mayor has done more to address housing affordability and homelessness, issuing the city's first state of emergency that rapidly opened hundreds of new temporary shelter beds, implemented innovative new livability pilot, I'm sorry, this is long, pilot programs, dedicated over $500 million towards affordable housing, and permanently housed 1,294 veterans as the first West Coast city to meet the White House mayor's challenge to end veteran homelessness. And whereas he has led the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability during a burst of activity, the 2035 comp plan, the deconstruction of older homes, energy benchmarking, and prohibiting bulk fossil fuel facilities, culminating in a climate action plan that was recently voted best in the world by C40. And whereas Mayor Hales has pursued an agenda of police accountability, developed stronger community police relationships with Portland's diverse groups, and passed a new police contract to address a growing police staffing crisis, including new equity and de-escalating training for all officers, resulting in a 50% reduction in police use of force incidents between 2010 and 2015. And whereas he has gotten upstream in the lives of countless at-risk youth, including providing over 1,000 summer work internship placements in partnership with Multnomah County and free access to recreational programming for 12,000 teenagers through the Mayor's Community Center Initiative, and whereas he is the first mayor to create the long overdue position of tribal liaison for the city of Portland, and whereas Mayor Hills' love for activating spaces has resulted in a revitalized Ankeny Square, a safer entertainment district in Old Town Chinatown, an up-and-coming lens business district, and the largest real estate deal in Portland through the purchasing of the post office site. And whereas every meeting he's attended has resulted in at least 1 month of work for his staff, because Mayor Hales has never met a problem that he hasn't wanted to solve. And whereas he is beloved not only by Portlanders, but by his mayoral colleagues across the world. And whereas we will be forever grateful for his leadership, his compassion, his ability to dive deep into complicated issues, no matter the work it created for staffers, his dad jokes, and his wisdom. And whereas it has been an honor and a privilege to work for and alongside Mayor Charlie Hales as he strived to improve the lives of Portlanders, now, therefore, we, the staff of Mayor of Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim December 21st to be a day of appreciation for Mayor Charlie Hales in Portland, in recognition for all the great things he's done for us and for Portlanders, and encourage all residents to observe this day. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're out of order.
Thank you. Thank you so much, staff, for doing that. I thought you were going to sing, but I was But I wanted to see if any of my colleagues had any other additional comments. I know we all probably want to say something to Commissioner Novick and Mayor Hales, but now's the time to do so.
Mr. President,
could
I be recognized briefly? The hour is late. Mayor Hales, I want to thank you for 14 years of public service. I read somewhere that you expect to spend the next 18 months on a boat drifting around the world. Let me make a commitment on behalf of this council. Whoever is in charge of the Fire Bureau will be poised at a moment's notice to send the David Campbell fire boat to rescue you if you encounter choppy waters. We should also extend our thanks to Nancy Hales, your full partner in your role as mayor. We've never had a First Lady quite like her. To Steve Novick, Steve, I want to thank you for the 4 years we've spent together. I've appreciated your smarts. Steve graduated from law school the year I was a freshman in college. So it tells you a little bit about our differential IQs. I appreciate your smarts, your good humor, and your very strong convictions. You get to take a bow, Steve, for a number of things that you've done. I want to especially thank you for the suggestion of bringing the Citizens Utility Board to work here as an outside independent watchdog. And to the public that's watching this, public service is hard work. And we live in very, very challenging times. And I've never seen a time in my life where there are more headwinds. In my view, people who choose to serve deserve our thanks and our respect. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Fritz, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, it has been an honor to serve on this council for 4 years and to be flanked by two men who I admire greatly and also enjoy their company. I don't say that all the time about a lot of things that we do in City Hall. Sometimes it's really hard. And so I mentioned in the last vote that I so appreciate, Commissioner Novick, the issues that you've taken on as a rookie, and you tackled them head on, and you've made extremely great progress on transportation issues, on emergency management. In the 20 years I've been watching or participating in city council hearings, there hasn't been another city commissioner who's put so much emphasis on unreinforced masonry and bolting houses down to the foundation. It's, you know, it literally is the nuts and bolts of where you start if you want to have a better chance of doing okay when we get the big earthquake. So thank you for that perseverance. You took the bureaus that you were assigned and you've been a champion for them. And thank you especially for looking after the Bureau of Emergency Communications, which was mine before. You have left it better than I left it for you. So thank you for that. Mahales, the police oversight that you have done really has made a difference and is continuing to make a difference and will make the difference that at some point in the next 4 years, we're going to get a clean bill of health from the Department of Justice and the settlement agreement will be done with. And I feel very confident that the work that you have done has set us on that course. Of course, the comprehensive plan and the infill project, what a delight. And I didn't accept the first time. When you called, actually, it was Susan Kelly who called me in 1996 and said that Commissioner Hales wants you to come in to talk. And I said, what about? Because I thought maybe I was going to get scolded for stopping too many subdivisions in Southwest Portland. And she said, the Planning Commission. I said, what? I might be ready for that in about another 10 years. And I said the same thing to Commissioner Hales as he was then. And he said, nope, I think you can do it right now. So just as Dr. Alicia Morland-Capua said last night at the celebration and the tribute video that we gave May Hales, she said, thank you for believing in me and investing your trust in me. And I will continue to try to make sure that that is a good return on your investment. So thank you also for the delight of getting into the nitty-gritty of all the comprehensive plan stuff and having somebody who's kind of thinking of things at the same time that I do and then getting stuff done. Climate disruption, I need to credit both of you, and I do always use the term climate disruption now. I think I encourage us all to. Climate change sounds like what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to Mexico for a vacation. Climate disruption is the polar ice caps melting it more than they have for the last 50 years. I'm very proud of what we did with the community, and thank you for staying, some of you, all of you who've stayed, because many of you have been part of all these successes. The work that we've done on banning coal trains, or discouraging coal trains, discouraging oil trains, banning new expanded fossil fuel regulations, we couldn't have done it without the five of us here or without all of you in the community pushing us to get it done. And I'm very proud of that. And as you just said, we're going to have the persistence in Portland to keep doing what we do as well as we can do. I do also, as the highlight, thank Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick for supporting me on open and accountable elections. And that is going to continue to make a difference for people of color, women, other minorities, for opening up our city council chambers, not only for listening to people who, like you, came in to testify, but also being part of the decision-making body. I want to just, in addition to the ones that your staff mentioned, the things that my office has been able to lead with your support, at the paid sick time in 2013, which is now statewide and is setting the national model. I know that we're all very proud of that and that we did it together with all five of us and each of us made it better. The Fix Our Parks bond in 2014, which we're now fixing a lot of problems in parks thanks to that bond measure, and support for the resolution, the binding city policy that we've passed, saying that half of all money that is extra or one time or left over, half of that has to go to maintenance. And for the from 4 years when we passed it till we reevaluate, it's going to go to maintenance in parks, transportation, and emergency management, because those are the bureaus that have the most challenges in fixing stuff. It's not nearly so interesting to fix things as it is to open new things, although we have done some fair amounts of those as well through everybody's great work. The cannabis work that we've done in 2015, the action that we've just taken, the passing the tax on the cannabis sales on recreational marijuana is going to bring some more needed funding for specific programs in the city of Portland. And then finally, these 4 years didn't work out the way I was expecting them to. And so I really appreciate my colleagues' support over the last 117 weeks. And thank you in particular for your support on passing the Fritz Fairchild Act at the legislature and getting the funding for $20 million so that in just 2 years, I believe, there will not be any unfenced medians on any interstate throughout the state of Oregon. And thank you for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Yeah. I would just add that I've served the longest-serving current member of the city council. I've worked with a lot of different commissioners and mayors over the years, and I think each one has left an imprint on me, and hopefully vice versa. But I really have grown from serving with all of you and getting to know you. And I think, you know, Commissioner Novick, I think what sticks out to my mind is your incredible consumption of news. I mean, I think you must read 3 or 4 papers easily a day, not to mention online journals and things like that. A constant source of knowledge and what's going on in the world, and your ability to tackle tough issues. I think, given your portfolio, you've found ways to be important. I think, as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, I think reforming our disabled parking permit system was a big challenge, one that you rose to the occasion. Making unreinforced masonry buildings hopefully a thing of the past is another, you know, kind of not glamorous, but an extremely important issue for all of us when the big one happens. And certainly transportation. Transportation funding, you've really helped get transportation on a stable funding basis. And I think you've really helped to, you know, don't want to forget bike share. I was the biggest skeptic on this council about bike share, that it would ever happen in Portland. I thought too many people have their own bikes. They wouldn't be interested in renting a bike. And what do you do in the winter? Well, you found the sponsorship that allayed my concerns, that took any general fund out of the equation. And as far as I can tell, Biketown is a rousing success, even on the shortest day of the year, December 21st. And so I want to thank you for that. And I've really enjoyed working with you over these past 4 years. Mayor Hills, you and I, this is kind of a reunion tour. We served together as commissioners. But it's really been an honor to serve with you as mayor. I really think, and I've said this to, you know, all the interviews about you, you know, you came into office as sort of a planner policy wonk, and you were faced with unprecedented levels of housing and homelessness issues that were top of mind for every Portlander, and police issues, you know, fortunately, through things that largely happened in other cities in this nation, but spilled over into Portland and still do to this day. But issues around running the police bureau, police accountability, police oversight, these were not issues that I think you had any idea were going to be so dominant of your term as mayor. But you've risen to the occasion, and you've handled at least both those issues well and professionally. And that's what I admire about you is your calm and your ability to take on tough issues. I mean, it comes with the territory. It comes with being mayor. You have to know how to deal with a lot of different issues and have good staff to help you do that. But I think you've really done that, and I think you've, you know, you have a certain moral compass you've stuck to, and that's always important. I think that's important to all of us to have that moral compass, and I think we all do. It's important for us to know that. Otherwise, we're going to be lost in whoever fills the chambers on a particular day on a particular topic, and you know, that's not the proper way to govern, in my opinion. So I think you've governed well, and you've risen to the occasion, and I've really enjoyed serving. Enjoy serving with all of you, but I just want to particularly recognize Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick. Thank you for leaving an impression on me and in ways I will still discover as time goes on. So thank you.
Well, thank you all. Steve, would you have, let Steve go first.
So I've got a lot of thank yous to make, and I'll start by thanking my wife, Rachel, for her unstinting support and unbelievable patience over the last 4 years. She's been the best damn fifth lady Portland has ever had. I want to thank my amazing staff, Chris Warner, Katie Shriver, Erica Niebel, Andrea Valderrama, Tamur Ender, Laura Hansen, Megan Gleason. I'm really sad that I won't be able to come to work with them every day this next 4 years. And to paraphrase Hillary Clinton, I wish I could just pick them all up and put them in my basket of adorables and carry them with me wherever I go next. I want to thank Lisa Turley, Leah Treat, and Karma Merlot and their staffs. It's been absolutely wonderful to work with their with those bureaus and the amazing people in those bureaus. And Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fritz, I'll be happy to let Carmen know that although actually we did not pass an unreinforced masonry building mandatory retrofit policy on my watch, it sounds like we've got at least two votes for one next year. So Carmen will be delighted to hear that. And I could say a lot about each of my colleagues, but I need to shut up at some point and give the mayor a chance to speak. Commissioner Fish, I want to thank you in particular for your commitment to Vision Zero and your commitment to seismic resilience. I'm delighted that resilience is now your favorite word.
You taught it to me.
And I look forward to hearing it from you many times.
I still can't spell it, but you taught me that word.
Commissioner Saltzman, I'm always impressed by, first of all, your willingness to take, that you've demonstrated for years, to take any task given you in the city and put your shoulder to the plow and get it done. I also really appreciate your willingness to say what you think about any issue, regardless of the political consequences. Any number of times I've gone back to my office after a council session and said, I can't believe that Dan Saltzman said that, but God, I'm glad he did. Commissioner Fritz, I want to thank you for your dedication to low-wage workers, and I also want to honor you for your sense of humor. Not everybody knows that Amanda Fritz is a laugh riot, but I sit next to her, and we spent the past 4 years passing silly notes back and forth to each other and cracking each other up, and I'm really, really going to miss that. Mayor Hales, I want to thank you again for your work on the comprehensive plan. It's absolutely fantastic that you returned to City Hall at this particular time for that purpose. But I also want to honor you for, in the past 4 years, being a man of the left. When you were elected, I think a lot of progressives in the city thought, well, Charlie Hales is kind of a corporate guy. He's about as conservative as you get for mayor of Portland. But it was Charlie Hales who said, we're not just going to ban the box. We're going to ban the hell out of the box. It was Charlie Hales who decided again and again to push the envelope on climate disruption. Charlie Hales supported reviving public financing of campaigns, and Charlie Hales voted to impose a tax surcharge on companies that pay their CEOs more than 100 times what they pay their typical worker. So on behalf of the Democratic Socialists of America, Mayor Hales, I want to extend you an honorary membership in that organization. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I'm sorry for
I do want to address an elephant in the room, which is I am acutely aware that I am the first city commissioner in 24 years to lose re-election. I'm also acutely aware that I was the city commissioner who came up with a funding mechanism to address street repair and traffic safety, which the city had needed for 30 years. And I want to say, I'll take that trade. If I had to choose between passing the gas tax and getting reelected, I'd choose passing the gas tax every time. If I had to choose between beating Chloe Udaly and beating Paul Romaine, I'd take beating Paul Romaine every time. And I want to say one more thing about that gas tax campaign. We started with 55% support in the poll. Every pollster will tell you that if you're doing a tax measure, especially one where you know you'll have organized opposition, you don't want to go ahead unless you start with more than 60%. That's what the pollsters told Sam Adams when he tried to raise money for transportation in 2008, and he had a proposal that started 55%, and the pollsters told him, don't go. We decided to go, even though I did think it was a long shot. I thought the odds were we were going to lose. And even if we lost, I think that was, I still would have thought that was the right decision. Because we face, in this city, in this state, in this country, big problems that aren't susceptible to politically easy solutions. And I'm glad that in this one city, in a small way, I made the decision to push ahead with a measure that was probably going to lose, and we got lucky and won. And I hope that that will inspire other leaders in this city, this county, this state, to occasionally go for it, even when the pollsters tell you not to. Now, I thought a lot about what my last few words would be as a city commissioner, and I realized that I would disappoint Commissioner Fish and Brad Schmidt and Dirk Vanderhart if my last few words were not a quote from a classic rock and roll song. And I was having a really hard time figuring out what those words should be. But then just today, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted Journey. So it's obvious what my last three words should be. Don't stop believing.
Well done, see. Well done. Well, thank you all. And the only thing I'll add to these good comments and in confirmation and rebuttal are this. One, we've done a lot of work together. I have teased my colleagues a little bit about how much they're going to enjoy my departure, because we have, particularly this year, brought a lot of things home to fruition that took a lot of work. And we've also done a lot of work as teams. Nick, you and I took on the reputation, the damaged reputation of our public utilities and a backlash that might have torn city government apart. And because of the commitment that we've had to doing the right things the right way and cleaning up any inconsistencies or improprieties, we're able to face our citizens and judges and anyone else that wants to put us through our paces and say, we're spending your water and sewer money appropriately, properly, and thoughtfully. And thank you for that partnership. Dan, you and I have taken on housing in a very big way, and it's making a very big difference, as we just saw today. Amanda, yes, it's been a pleasure to work with you again on planning our city, because it really matters. And it will pay dividends beyond our lives, because cities last a really long time. And Steve, your courage on transportation funding is a model, and I'm so appreciative of that partnership. It was hard at times, it got nasty at times, but you got the good thing done. This has been a great season in my public service. I don't know what my future public service will be. It won't be elected office. But this has been a joy and sometimes a trial. But so much good has been done for this good place. And I have one small gift to leave you with, and I think it's particularly apt that it's today, and that is mayors have a ceremonial gift that we give to someone of importance when they come to our city. And my wife, the wonderful First Lady of Portland, Nancy Hales, is something of a fashion person. And she had the bright idea of, let's have a local fashion designer design a fabric and then make a men's tie and make a woman's scarf out of that. And I had the privilege of giving my very first of those two gifts to the President of the United States and First Lady Obama. And I have the privilege of giving the last of those gifts as your mayor to the five of you, because the image of the Tillicum Crossing that shows the sustainability of our city, the beauty of public works, well-built, and above all, particularly in this room with these people, the ability to get good things done for a good city, I can't think of a better symbol. So wear it with pride, and remember me, and I won't be wearing a tie for the next 18 months. But I'll think of you all often. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bless this city. Bless you all.
You get the final gavel, yes.
We are adjourned for 2016.
All right.